And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the Southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, I mean to say, covers some ground, like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn's, right across the border from there to what we get to call once again Fort Benning. And yeah, big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And I am glad of it. And oh, by the way, that's just our radio audience. And there's the online folks who stream the show, download the show, podcast the show. Thank you very much. We appreciate you. We love you. Y'all are the reason why we do this. All right, technology being what it is, we don't have phones today, but we do have internet connectivity, and we have a system we use called CleanFeed occasionally, and I do believe we got all of our peeps on. So right now, I'm going to call the roll. All right, sitting right here, somewhere very near the Right Side studio, that man who is smooth as butter, who happens to be called Butters. Butters, are you on the line?
I am most definitely here.
You are indeed. Thank you, brother. And then also looking north towards Huntsville is the dynamic diva of punditry on the line, Lee from Huntsville. Are you there?
She needs to unmute herself.
If Lee could unmute herself, that would be awesome. Is she there?
She's there, but she's got herself muted.
Oh, God, Lee. You can't unmute her from this side? Well, Lee, if you can hear me, unmute yourself.
I'm here.
Okay.
I did. I'm here.
Okay, turn off your radio because now I hear the yelling in the background. This is crazy. All right. Hey, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, man. All right. Lee, thank you so much for using alternate technology to connectivity. Redundant comms is a thing on a mission. You got to always have redundant comms when you go to the field. All right. First question.
Well, you got to do what you do
to
make it work.
You got to do what you do. And storms being, by the way, let me ask this real quick. You living in that area, South Huntsville had a, did she drop off again? Holy crap. All right, never mind. I'm going to move on. I'm going to take the first question. I'm going to go to Butters because Lee is not with us right now. Hey, so Butterman, I'm assuming you've seen the news. Horrible news. We had two young people who were murdered this morning in Washington, D.C. simply for being Jewish. They were both a young couple that worked at the Israeli embassy. The killer was yelling Free Palestine as he murdered them outside the Jewish Museum. And here's my question for you. Is this something, I mean, should we see any burden of responsibility being assigned to the progressive left for all the rants about anti-Semitism, or is that just a free speech issue? Your thoughts on that, Butterman?
Yeah.
I think it's a massive slippery slope. And obviously there are limitations to free speech that, you know, when you're calling for violence, you know, but on the other side, if you try to regulate it, you try to control it, and you really leave an open-ended opportunity, you know, either side can start really getting really messy. And obviously we've seen the, you know, seen the repercussions of that on, you know, the left against the right.
Yeah.
So I mean, before jumping on board with, we need to regulate it all. You know, I definitely, yes, I think there is a very, very important conversation to be had of like, what, I mean, the same thing with why do you hate Hitler or why do you hate Trump so much? Because you keep calling him Hitler and saying he's going to end the world. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Can you stop that by, you know, regulating the speech? I'm not sure that makes a difference.
Lee, is Lee back on?
I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, well, it does some. I think it's certainly part of the dialogue. But Lee, your thoughts? Did you hear the question about the anti-Semitism and whether or not the progressive left bears any burden of responsibility on it? Is she there? We say she's there. All right, we're having trouble with Lee's connection. Lee, what do you think?
Okay, I heard like. If we're still talking about the two students that were killed.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think? Is that a free speech issue for the progressive left to scream Free Palestine and down with Israel? Or are they fomenting part of the problem?
I mean, I think it can be both in the sense of it's not illegal to say free Palestine. It's not illegal to you shouldn't be punished for your opinion. But they also have to understand, and I put this in the laps of the universities, those in higher positions of power, politicians.
Yeah.
When you wind up people like this and when you give them the impression that there will never be any consequences for their actions and that they can stand in the schoolhouse door literally and tell students you're not allowed to come in, tell professors you're going to be blocked because of your race or religion. When you're doing all this, you're giving the power to those people and they feel as if they can do and say whatever they like. Well, that takes the lone crazies to another level and they get wound up and get sent out. And both parties have to take responsibility that your speech can sometimes incite things that you don't expect.
And that's the point I think that has to be made is there's a fine line between what is an opinion and what is inciting violence. And it's hard to regulate. To Butter's point, it's a very slippery slope. It is. But here's the thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with us having the opinion that they incited it. I don't know that anyone will ever be held to fully account for it. I don't know that we can say, hey, Harvard, you, oh, by the way, are guilty because someone was shot in D.C. Or, hey, Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib. But I believe they are. I do believe they are. I do believe that Rashida Tlaib is as much to blame as anybody else in fomenting the kind of violence that just happened. And she ought to speak to it.
They are being held responsible in certain ways. Kristi Noem just sent a letter to Harvard telling them that they can no longer bring in foreign students. And if people don't understand the level of money that's going to take away, foreign students pay full tuition by their universities, a lot of them China. If they're stripped of their ability to bring in foreign students based on this type of agitation, that's a serious blow.
Well, you're right. That's a serious blow, and they can do that. And they're using their State Department power. Butters, what are you thinking, man?
So here's a truly conservative thought, I think. If we look to the government to try to fix this issue, we've already missed the mark, in my opinion.
That's a great point.
Does that make any sense?
No, that's a great point.
I think if we look to the government to fix the problem that we've got going on with this, then we've already missed the mark, and we need to have the bigger conversation. And I hate to say it, but it leads me to think about things and talk through, like, at what point do ideologies just not belong in the same society together?
I think that sounds
extreme, but
that's a pretty reasonable. Charlie Kirk today said something very similar, and he's already getting heat for it. There's a lot to be said for this thing being also something that not only government shouldn't have to be called in to fix everything, but I also think that government's part of what broke this thing. I think government is part of the Biden administration allowed so much crap to just be okay, or at least not addressed, that, like, to the point a minute ago made by Lee, it became a thing that with no boundaries, with nobody being held responsible or accountable, people felt empowered to do whatever they wanted to do. And this guy just killed two people and then screamed free Palestine. So, all right, listen,
go ahead. I think we're at a place that's been a long, long time coming.
Yeah.
Long before the Biden administration. You got to go back a couple of decades, I think, to really.
Somebody made the point that they're surprised it took this long, which is a very pragmatic, horrible point to make, but I understand it. All right, let me change gears.
It's a testimony to our system.
It does. Let me make a time for another question. We got about 3.5 minutes. So state politics. It looks like, and we're going to find out Tuesday for sure, although I feel very confident, Senator Tuberville, is about to announce that he's running for the governor's office. Will Ainsworth just dropped out, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Rick Pate, who was the ag commissioner, was going to run. He's dropped out. So is Tommy Tuberville looking at a clear run for the nomination for the Republican Party? And is there any Democrat you can imagine that could rise up and make it challenging for him in the general election? Lee, you first this time.
He will sail through. this election, name recognition, his conservative stances so far in the Senate. He should have no problem winning. And no, there's absolutely not one single Democrat that will make a whit of difference in this race whatsoever. It's just name recognition. He's got it. Everybody knows him. I mean, you know, even people who aren't diehard Auburn fans understand him, know him, seen what he's done in the Senate. I have to respect that, and I'll vote for him. But yeah, I mean, with Will Ainsworth bowing out, that was his main competition. That's it. He's as good as in.
What you think there, Butters?
Unless they get some pictures or something.
Don't say that. Pictures in a drawer we don't know about. Butters, what do you think?
I mean, I hate to jump on the bandwagon, but yeah, I mean, I think unless Nick Saban runs as a Democrat, I just don't see, you know, like what competition are you really going to have? I think the real competition is going to be for that Senate seat, and that's you know.
Wouldn't that be something, though?
I know Tuberville hasn't officially announced, but
do we want to see the Iron Bowl of politics? Do we want to see it? No.
Oh my God, no. No, we don't.
I think in today's climate, I mean, not only would Saban have to, if he wanted to run as a Democrat, not only would he have to sacrifice probably a extremely good salary with ESPN, but he would also kind of run the risk of alienating all the people who currently love him just for being the coach, you know, because this is a red state.
Trumps politics.
Do what?
I said, I think football trumps politics.
It's the other religion in Alabama. Of course it does.
in this state.
That's right.
No, he would. Saban's not political at all. He doesn't seem to really be like a political animal. Yeah. I don't think he'd ever run for anything.
Although I am
hearing, was joking.
I am hearing that there is a, and I can't say who, I won't say who, but there is a close friend of Saban who is looking at a possible run for the U.S. Senate. That will be interesting. All right, we got to leave it there. I'll leave that tidbit laying on the table. A little nugget. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming back round two with Butters and Lee, where they ask me questions, and I just hope for the best. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, we're going back to round two of Butters and Lee. This is the part where we flip the script and they ask me a question, any question, and I just see what they got. So I'm going to go with ladies first. Lee from Huntsville, pray tell, what question do you have from Wa? Oh, is she muted again? Lee, unmute your phone. Holy cow. All right, I'm going to go with Butters. Butters, you get to go first then because Lee's having technology problems. So pray tell, Butters, what question do you have for me?
All right. So first, I'm super honored to fill in to mop cleanup. All right. So I know you had Representative Libby on yesterday, and I'm kind of curious if you wouldn't mind, could you put your lawyer and politician hat on and explain, like you're talking to a constitutional law class. How, like, what's the rationale? Maybe if you want a steel man argument, like, what's the rationale that got to that point that she found herself in? Does that make sense?
Rationale from her side or their side? The other side.
From their side. Like, how did we get here that this was even a thing? Because it just doesn't seem, it just seems so obvious.
Well, to do that, look, I'm going to have to use some what we call in the law school hornbook wisdom, all right? Hornbooks are basically it's the old school law. So let me go into some hornbook wisdom and just say stupid is as stupid does. So there you go. There's your legal definition. So it's apparently embedded in the code or the rules of the legislature in her state, in Maine, there is a rule that said that censure could prevent you from being allowed to vote or participate in floor action on the House floor, except that it's never been adjudicated before. So it just sat there on the books for God knows how long until this particular Speaker of the House, who is apparently a real piece of work, this particular Speaker of the House decided he was going to employ it because, by golly, transgender boys ought to be able to participate in girl sports. And the Supreme Court of the United States, it's the first time they had a chance to look at, because you can pass any law at all. Until it's challenged, it can sit on the books. And in this particular case, The Constitutional Review of this said, you can't just muzzle somebody who has not been convicted of a crime. Now, had she been convicted of a felony and removed from office, that'd be different. But in this case, all they did was just not like her opinion, and they shut down her ability to represent her constituents. So stupid is as stupid does, and there's your Hornbook wisdom on that one. Good question, man.
I'm back on.
Hey, Lee, good to hear from you. Pray Sorry. Tell, Lee, do you have a question? Don't worry, Butters is over there. He got your back. It's all good. So, but what question do you have for me?
So, did you see the where Trump took the South African president?
Yeah.
And played the videos of the party there trying to kill the Boer, and made Ooh. Him watch a video of the things that are happening right now to the white farmers, and all the news stations called it an ambush. What are your thoughts about what happened?
Well, my thoughts are that all the outlets are right. It was an ambush. My thoughts are it was also legit. So South Africa is one of those who believes that the way you fix the sins of the past is to commit more sins in the present. And it is absolutely, whereas we had apartheid for years and they got rid of it, only about 7.2% of the population is white. Well, so the black population, and by the way, I will say this, my understanding is that largely people live side by side in peace, but there is a growing level of not just hatred, but violence against white citizens in South Africa. They're burning their farms. They're murdering them. And then they have actual elected officials that are not just like what we talked about a while ago with anti-Semitism, you know, sort of allowing things to go on. They're actually calling for it. I mean, they're holding rallies and they're chanting about, you know, killing the white farmer. And they've just passed a law. The legislature in South Africa just passed a law allowing the capital to seize the land of white farmers if it is deemed that they own too much. And you can't run a country like that.
Do you think this is going to end up in a Zimbabwe situation?
I think
where hyperinflation, lack of farmers, where they ended up asking them to come back?
Yes, I do. I think it's headed that way right now. And I think that it took a dose of cold water, like basically an ice bath yesterday in the Oval Office to hopefully wake that up. What's interesting, too, is the president of South Africa, he brought a white golfer. They have a professional golfer that he brought with him as part of the entourage to prove that there are white people who are OK. And this white golfer was standing there behind the president of South Africa. And somebody asked him, oh, what do you know about all this? He didn't mince words. He said, my father's friends are farmers. Many of them had their farms burned and they've been murdered. He did not support his president at all. And I'm sure that was just one of those backfire moments that they wish they'd not brought the guy. But yeah. So do I think it was, I think it was rough. I think it was rough, but I don't think South Africa is going to respond well to the United States issuing a speech in the UN and hoping for the best on the UN Security Council. And then, you know, maybe we'll just won't do as much, you know, foreign trade with you. I think it took the South African president getting a dose of reality in the Oval Office. He got Zelensky.
I'm glad they brought it I'm glad they brought it to the forefront of attention. It's definitely something that needs to be talked about.
It's also one of the only ways the press will deal with it because the press has been ignoring it in a big, big way.
Yeah. But he like wheeled out a TV like in AV class and turned the lights down. It was great.
We just like having an overhead projector and they had to shine it up on the wall. But all right, you guys, that's it. We're about to hit the music, but I appreciate both of you. Butters and Lee, as always, on Thursday afternoons, and we'll have you guys back next week. Take care, y'all. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Especially to Butters, who served ably in the Navy. All right, we're taking a break right now. We're coming right back. Hour number three on a Thankful Thursday. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.